So in verse number 3, he says, what is the profit of that? What is the benefit? Why should I know this knowledge? You know, people always say, what is in it for me? Or looking out for number 1, what am I going to get? Why should I sit in the morning here? I could be, you know, sleeping, or I could be lying at a park, or I could be watching TV, or I could be, you know, going to a picnic with friends. Why should I learn this knowledge? What is the benefit of this? What happens after I get it, you know? Because we always are very profit motive. If I don't get a profit, I don't do it. So in verse number 3, he says, what is the profit of that? Yo mam ajamana dincha veti loka maheshwaram asammoodha samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. Yo means yaha. So whoever that person may be, the yaha is a generic pronoun which means anybody. Whether that person is a man or a woman, whether he's black or white, whether he's short or tall, whether he's Indian, American, African, Asian, doesn't matter. Yo means whoever that person may be. So that means the idea is that this knowledge or this realization is not restricted to a particular caste or a particular community or a particular nationality. This knowledge is for all. So yo mam means the Lord says me. So here, every time when the Lord says me, he is referring to I, that consciousness, the total consciousness. Mam ajam anadincha. Ajam means unborn. Anadi means beginningless. So the Lord says, I am unborn and I am beginningless. So one who knows me, veti, one who knows me as unborn, beginningless, and Loka Maheshwaram, and the Lord of all the worlds, Lokas, all the worlds, Maha Ishwara. Ishwara means the Lord. Maha Ishwara means the great Lord. So I am the great Lord of all the worlds. All. What happens to him? Asammoodha. Moodha means a fool. Sammoodha means Samyak Moodha, means a great fool. So when he says Asammoodha, means he is not a fool. So in his way of saying, he is a wise person. So he or she, obviously, we're not saying only he, but that wise person, Asammoodha, Saha means that wise person, Martyeshu. Martyeshu means mortals. And we are all mortals. You know, we are all mortals. Not only we, but everything in here is mortal. You know, the great buildings, they are here, they will be gone. The great mountains will be, you know, they are here, they are slowly getting destroyed. The cars, the, you know, everything is mortal. Everything is temporary. Even the earth, they are saying eventually in few billion years, the earth will, you know, the sun will lose all its heat. And then the sun and all the planets will coalesce into one black hole, a big black hole, where all the other stars will there, and then the whole universe will end. So everything is mortal. Everything is temporary. So in this temporary world, Martyeshu, Sarva Papaif Pramuchyate, Sarva Papa, from all sins, Sarva Papa, from all sins, Pramuchyate. Muchyate means he is free. Pramuchyate means Prakarshena Muchyate, means he is totally freed of all his sins, all his negativities, completely he is free. Three ways of describing the Lord. He is unborn, beginningless, and he is the Lord of all beings. He is unborn, beginningless, and he is the Lord of all beings. And we know that. That's what even the Bible says. You know, the Lord alone was. Now, if the Lord alone was, who baptized him? You know, in Catholicism, if you are not baptized, you are not a Catholic. So they say, Lord was never baptized. Yeah, because there was no one to baptize him. Because he was there before everything. So the Lord is the beginningless. He is the unborn beginningless. He was always there. The Lord was there. And then this world was created. The world was an appearance. And then the world ultimately merges back into the Lord. And that's what they say. Even in the Bible, they say God alone was. And then in 6 days, he created the world. And the seventh day, he rested. And then they talk about the deluge, you know, when there will be 40 days of rain and, you know, all that continuous rain. And then the world will be submerged. And even physicists talk about the Great Bang. You know, there was a big bang and the whole universe created. And then eventually the whole thing will become a big black hole and everything will merge back. So whether the world is there or not, the consciousness always is there. And that is the concept. And Swamiji in his commentary talks about the ghost and the post. Or we can use the example of the rope and the snake, which Shankaracharya ji had popularized, which we have talked about many times. But just to briefly, there is a rope lying on the ground and it is semi-dark. It is not too bright and not... If it was bright sunlight, I would see the rope. If it was completely dark, pitch dark, then I wouldn't see the rope. I would just walk by. But it is the twilight where it is neither sunlight nor it is pitch dark. And I see a vague image lying there. So what I think that there is a snake. The rope is lying in the form of a snake. And I say, oh my God, there is a snake. And it looks like a cobra. And then I even imagine that the snake is hissing and his tongue is coming out and all the negative things. And then I get fear and then I faint and I start sweating. And then I say, oh my God, the snake. Or if I accidentally touch it, I say the snake bit me. And then all the fears and all arise. And then I start shaking and trembling. And then a wise person comes and says, wait a minute. That's not a snake. That's a rope. And he shines the light. And then I say, oh my God, you know, it was all along a rope. And I imagined the snake upon the rope. And then I suffered all the sorrows and joys and all the agony of a snake. Now the rope was always there. The rope was there, is there, and will be there. Now the snake was projected by me upon the rope temporarily, and when the knowledge came, when the light was shined, then the snake disappeared, and then I said, oh, it is just the rope. And the rope was there, even when the snake was there, the rope was the substratum. Suppose there was no rope, then would I see a snake? Even whether it's twilight or daylight or sunlight or nighttime, I wouldn't see a snake because the rope was not there. But the rope being there and not identifying the rope as a rope, I project a snake upon it. So similarly, this whole world is nothing but that one consciousness. And on that one consciousness, this world is projected. Out of my ignorance, I project this world as, you know, this is my friend and this is my enemy and this is my house and that is your house. And how can I also take over your house and how can I take over your country? So this ignorance projects the world. But actually it's nothing but that one consciousness. But not seeing this world as the consciousness, we project this world. It's just a projection of my mind. And just as that is done in the darkness, my darkness is my vasanas. It is my desires that stop me from experiencing my own divinity and experiencing the divinity everywhere. But a wise Mahatma like, you know, Swami Chinmayananda or Jesus or Buddha or somebody comes and tells us that, you know, you are that consciousness. And this whole world is nothing but that consciousness. So that is the flashlight. The Bhagavad Gita is like the flashlight that tells us. And once you understand, then you see that I am immortal. I am unborn. I am beginningless. Not only Krishna is unborn and beginningless, I am too. Because I am that consciousness. I was never born and I will never die. This body I have put it on and tomorrow if I have to drop it, so what? It's nothing. I am not this body. You can take this body and okay, burn it, bury it, that's fine. Nothing happens to me. In the second chapter, the Lord says, this Atma cannot be cut. You know, the knives cannot cut it. The fire cannot burn it. Water cannot wet it. So fire cannot affect me. Knives cannot affect me because I am that consciousness. And that is the understanding. So he says, one who knows the Lord as the unborn, beginningless, and the Lord of all the lokas, all the worlds. You know, we were talking about the various worlds. One is the physical world. You know, I can see. I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, everything that is happening. Then there is the emotional world, the world of emotions, the world of feelings. You know, and then there is an intellectual world. You know, different, my ideas, like different, so like philosophers, you know, when they meet, they talk only philosophy. Why? It's a philosopher's world. They, all their ideas meet, they only talk sports. Physicists meet and they have a physicist convention, and all they're talking day and night is physics, physics, physics. They go home. So the idea is that we create all these different worlds of our own choosing. Like I will associate, say if I like sports, I will associate with football lovers. If I'm a 49ers fan, I only have friendly friends with 49ers fan. If there's a Raiders fan, I'll beat him up. So we create our own world of likes and dislikes. But how do I become aware of all these worlds? How does my body become aware? How does my mind, the intellect, because of the consciousness? So the consciousness is the Lord of all these worlds. The Lord is the, God is the Lord. Lord means he's not like a dictator sitting there and like a boss, like a Lord and crushing us and making us suffer. But he is the illuminator. He is the consciousness. He is the knowledge. And God was there even before our knowledge, even before the first thought came, the first intellect. Like you ask somebody who made gravity, somebody might say Newton. Newton did not make gravity. Newton discovered gravity. He saw the apple falling and he said, oh, why did the apple fall? And then even 1,000 years before Newton, apples were still falling. You know, only thing is nobody ever sat down and asked, why did this apple fall? In fact, they said Newton, when he saw the apple falling, he used to go around everywhere and ask, why did this apple fall? Why did this apple fall? He would ask everybody, all the wise people and the physicists and the professors, why do you think? They said, you know, we are sick of this. You have this apple, why don't you just eat it and be done with it? Why do you want to know why did the apple fall? Apples have been falling for thousands of years. And why are you worried about why the apple fell? Apples always fall. Apple, have you ever seen an apple go up? No. So then why are you wasting your time? Now he said, no, I want to know why this apple fell. And then finally he came up with this theory of gravitation. So even before Newton discovered the law of gravitation, the law of gravitation was there. So when did the earth first start? Oh, they say it started billions of years ago. Now where did it come from? It came from this Big Bang, and it was this mass of matter. There was this big explosion from which this whole, now where did the energy for that come from? You know, then they talk about various cycles and yugas, that this whole creation will live for billions of years and then will merge back. And then for billions of years, there will be no activity. The whole universe will be dead, like this black hole. They call it the night of Brahmaji, where the nighttime, where there is nothing happening. And then again, the whole universe. So they say it has happened so many times. So the Lord is the one that is the creator, the sustainer, and the Lord of everything. The Lord, again, in the sense that it is the power, it is the consciousness, it is the energy which is sustaining this whole universe. Just as me, I am sustained by the consciousness in me, and because of which I am able to walk, talk, and function and all that. So similarly, it is that one Lord who is sustaining this whole universe. Everything is carried. He carries everything. Again, you know, in the Kaivalya Upanishad, it says that I am the supporter of this universe. Supporter does not mean, Swamiji Chinmayananda says, does not mean that on his carrying on his back. You know, he's carrying the earth on his back, and now the population of the earth is increasing and his back starts hurting because there are too many beings. No, not like that. It is the substratum. It is the support. It is the essence. Just as the ocean carries all the waves, the mud carries all the parts, the gold carries all the ornaments. So the Lord is the supporter. So he says, one unborn And again, we remember we said knows does not mean know him as an object. Know him as the subject. He is the knower of everything that is happening in me. So that subject knower is who I really am. So that is called knowing. Know him as me, as the subject. And he and I are not separate. We are not far, but we are one. Asamudasa Martyeshu. And then we call him a wise person. We call him a prophet. We call him a Jesus or a Buddha or a Swami Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or Tukaram or Guru Nanak. All these great prophets are the wise people. Asamudasa Martyeshu. And in this mortal world, they become immortal. That's why even 10,000 years from now, as long as there is one Christian church in the world, people will be remembering Christ. As long as there is one Buddhist temple, people will remember Buddha. As long as there is one Chinmaya mission anywhere in the world, people will remember Swami Chinmayananda. So the idea is that people come and go, but these great prophets, they live forever. And that is the idea. And that is what they say, that once you realize the truth, then you also become immortal. Maybe you may not be well known. They say some people have realized and they're just in the forest. In meditation, they realize and they drop their body and nobody even knew about it. They don't have to be known, but they have to understand that I am that immortal. Actually, we all are immortal. We are all permanent, but we, in our foolishness, we think that we are this body. And then it says, sarva papai pramuchyate, sarva papai, from all sins, we get totally liberated, pramuchyate, totally liberated. What do we mean by sins? Swami Chinmayananda explains it very beautiful in the book, if you can read it later on. But he says that why do we commit sin? Because we have negative tendencies. And it's the negative tendencies that make me do negative acts. Negative tendencies lead to negative thoughts, negative feelings, and then negative actions. So all sins, anything, if I lie or cheat or steal or hurt somebody or destroy something or anger, greed, jealousy, they all arise from negativities because I do not know myself to be the consciousness. I think myself to be this body and I have all these desires, and to fulfill these desires I do all kind of evil and wicked deeds. But once you realize that you are that consciousness, then sarva papai pramuchyate, then you are freed from all the sins. Why? Because then I have no selfish desires. That's why in these great saints, they never commit any false act, because they see oneness. If everybody is me, then whom am I going to hurt? I'm going to love everybody equally. Like in my body, my toe and my hand and my eyes, I love them all because they're all me. I don't say I love my toe more and I love my eyes less. No, I love them all equal. So the Mahatma, the saint, sees everybody as one. And then there is nobody for him to hurt. Whom is he going to get jealous of? Whom is he going to get greedy with? Whom is he going to hate? Whom is he going to hurt? Nothing. Whom is he going to steal or take from? They are all me. And so the only way to be totally freed of all sins is to give up this body identification. Remember that you are that consciousness and function as that. Start living your life. That's what they say every morning you should tell. I am not this body. I am this consciousness. Before you sit for meditation, tell yourself, this body is an instrument. This mind is an instrument. I am none of these. The body may be hurt. The mind may be agitated. The intellect may be insulted. But you are not insulting me. You are not hurting me. You are not punishing me. Because I am that consciousness. So then once you realize that, then there is nothing that anybody can do to hurt me. Not only that, but there is nothing I can do to hurt anybody else because they are all me. Just as I am the consciousness, everything is that consciousness. So they say if you want to be freed from sin, one is that one by one you can say, I have anger, I should remove anger, I should substitute love, you know, like the prayer of Saint Francis. There is hatred, I should have compassion. Yeah, you work one by one, and that is good. But better is just say, I am that consciousness, and everything gets wiped out. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight, but as you start practicing and as you start living, and that's why we say you should meditate, because in meditation is the fastest way to destroy the vasanas. You can do them through service, through remembering the God, through puja, and through right knowledge, you can do it. But in meditation, it is a very fast way to destroy the tendencies. And once the tendencies are destroyed, and people who go into that deep meditation, these Buddhist monks and these, you know, great yogis, then in their meditation, then they experience a total lack, where they, even their own body awareness is gone, and then they become one with that. And then that becomes a permanent. It's not a temporary. You know, one is a temporary feeling, but ultimately they continuously live in the presence of the Lord. And that is, so that is what he says. A person who sees me everywhere and knows that he and I are one, he is freed of all sins, all negativities, all vasana. So that is a fast way. It's a fast track way. It's like when you are erasing, you know, you're erasing all your old tapes. Nowadays, of course, people don't have tapes, but in the good old days, we used to have tapes, and you have these erasers where fast speed, it erases the whole tape so you can record on it. So that is. These two verses are very practical. Any more comments? We have a few minutes. It's important to be in infinite. Yes. Yeah, because as long as I am living on this planet, I am going to have the body, mind, and intellect, and I'm going to have to live. Whatever life is allotted to me, it could be another 30 years, could be 10 years, could be 10 days. But they say that in the Upanishad, it says, whatever time remaining I have, O Lord, let me be an instrument and let me serve you, and let me make this world a better place. So you can utilize this body for aggrandizement, collecting more, becoming more powerful, more, or accumulating more good deeds, you know, meditating more and reading more and serving more and helping more. So it's a question of what you want to collect, you know, what kind of karmas, because ultimately it's all a game of karmas. Whatever good or bad actions you accumulate, you get good or bad results. So yeah, the body, mind, and intellect should become an instrument of service for the Lord. And constantly remember him whenever anything good or bad happens, either way. And reduce the ego, the doership, that I am doing it. The Lord is functioning through me. That attitude should be there as much as possible. Like when she's teaching yoga, you know, that's how she should think, that is the Lord who has given me the ability to teach. And then these people whom I'm teaching are also the Lord. So I'm talking to them. So then the humbleness comes, humility comes, and that's very important. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah, Hari Om. Thank you.